Welcome to my message today on the important topic of trade in, listen, your discouragement for Jesus' motivation. Again, we're going to talk today about, listen, making the trade. Trade in your discouragement, right? And listen, make the trade and have Jesus' motivation in your life. And perhaps as you're watching today, you are discouraged. And discouragement is something that we all deal with in life, and every single one of us have to face it as we go through life. But life with Jesus is different in the area of discouragement, because through Him, we can make the trade. In other words, when we get discouraged, if we turn to Jesus, He will help us to find the motivation that we need to live our lives. Well, again, welcome. And in case we haven't met, my name is Steve Reynolds, and I'm the lead pastor here at Capitol. And again, thank you for joining with us today. Now, listen, this message is part of a series called The Great Exchange. The Great Exchange. And what we're doing is we're looking at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. That's our key verse for the series, where the Bible says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And the two major words in that statement are "in Christ." The Bible says if you're in Christ, listen, the old passes away and you become new. And I love that word "behold," because you can see the transformation. You can see the change. And one of the things that we experience in Christ is the trade, the exchange, if you will, between discouragement and motivation. Now, this series is based on a Bible book called 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And what we're doing is we're looking at seven beautiful exchanges that Paul describes to us in this tremendous Bible book. So let's dive in here. And today we're going to be specifically looking at 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 18. But right now what I want to do is I want to read what we call the key verse. And today's key verse is verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Here the Bible says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart." We do not lose heart. We don't lose our motivation. "Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." What a tremendous statement from God's Word. Listen, our physical part is perishing, right? I mean, you know, slowly but surely, our bodies are, if you will, decaying, okay? But listen, our spiritual part, all right, that can be renewed every single day. And we're going to talk about how to do that in our sermon today, all right? But as we look at this, I want to talk a little bit about discouragement, and particularly this passage. And so the first thing I want to say is that discouragement is common and reoccurring, right? Listen, all of us, let's just be very, very clear, all of us get discouraged, right? We all get discouraged. And it's very, very common. I mean, it's so common. I mean, it's a common experience that everyone faces in life. And listen, it's reoccurring, meaning, listen, it's going to happen to you time and time and time again, right? It's not a, you know, one and done situation. It's something you're going to continue to deal with in your life. But Paul said twice, once at the beginning and again at the end of the chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, he said it towards the beginning and towards the end, "Do not lose heart." Do not lose heart. What does this mean? It means do not be discouraged, right? I mean, don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged. Don't stay discouraged. When you get discouraged, we lose heart. Or another way of saying it is we lose what? Our motivation, right? When you get discouraged, you know, you aren't motivated, right? You just feel, you know, down and out and it's hard to get going again. But God wants us to get going again. And so Paul here shares how he was motivated. And here's what he's going to tell us, all right? Paul talks about his own motivation and how we can be motivated by not focusing on our problems, but rather focusing on what we possess in Jesus. Paul motivated himself by not focusing on his problems, but rather focusing on what he possessed in Jesus. And the word I want to emphasize there is the word focus. What is your focus? And honestly, when Steve Reynolds gets discouraged, the truth is he's taken his focus off of Jesus. And I've put my focus on myself and my own problems, right? That's what we do when we get discouraged. But what Paul is going to show us here is how we got to keep our focus on Jesus, right? And we put our focus on Jesus, he motivates us. And so, praise God, we possess so much in Jesus. And let that be the focus of our lives. Now, with that said, let's dive in and let's go through 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 18. And today we're going to talk about how to trade in your discouragement for Jesus' motivation. How to trade in your discouragement for Jesus' motivation. And what I love about this passage I'm going to share with you today are five motivators. In other words, you know, let's be specific, all right? What can motivate us? And Paul shares five motivators. And also he shares five things to focus on when it comes to Jesus. Five things to focus on when it comes to Jesus. And these work hand in hand together. There's the motivator, and then there's the focus specifically on Jesus. And this is an awesome passage we're going to look at today. So I'm excited about sharing this with you. So first of all, the first motivator is glorious ministry. Glorious ministry. Paul here talks about the fact that, you know, we have this ministry, all right? And first of all, when it comes to glorious ministry, every believer has a ministry to preach the gospel. Paul said, I can't stop. I've got a ministry, and I have a ministry to preach the gospel. And in this passage, he says, therefore, since we have this ministry, therefore, since we have this ministry. He says, listen, you know, because I've got this ministry of preaching the gospel, I can't stop, right? I can't allow discouragement to hold me back. Now, to understand the context here, you got to look and you got to see what was at the end of the previous chapter, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Because, you know, the chapter headings and verses were added to help us find things in the Bible. And by the way, I thank God for that, okay? I praise God for that. But when you're trying to interpret a scripture, you got to make sure you understand, okay, what was said about this beforehand, right? And so how does chapter 3 end? Because the verse we're talking about now is the first verse of chapter 4, and here's what Paul said. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, listen, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, you know, honestly, you know, chapter 3 is another great sermon, right? But the bottom line is, in chapter 3, Paul is emphasizing salvation and how that we come to Christ, you know, and we were saved through him, not through the law. He talks about, you know, the law and how that can't save anyone, but we're saved through Jesus. And when we get saved, we behold the mirror, okay? And the mirror is the glory of the Lord, right? His glory. Romans 3:23 says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That means the holiness. That means the perfection of God. We've all sinned. And the answer to sin is salvation through Jesus. And he says, listen, we're transformed by that, all right? We're transformed into the image of Jesus from glory to glory. I mean, it is a glorious ministry is what he's saying here. It's a glorious thing to see someone come to know Jesus and see the change in their life. I mean, Jesus is the answer. He really is, right? And we have this ministry, right? We can't stop. We got to keep going because people need the Lord, all right? People need the Lord. But then also, it says in Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, that verse tells us all Christians have what I'm calling here this general ministry of the preaching of the gospel. He didn't say, you pastors, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say, you missionaries, you all go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. No, he said to them, he said to us, every Christian has a responsibility to preach the gospel. But also, listen, all Christians have a general ministry to preach the gospel, but also all Christians also have what I'm calling a unique ministry. And that ministry is based on our spiritual gifts, our spiritual gifts. Yes, we have a ministry, all Christians, to preach the gospel, but also we have a unique ministry that God gives to us. And that ministry is based on, we call it your shape, right? And the first part of your shape is spiritual gifts. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:10 through 11b, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as of the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. Praise God. You see, every one of us have been given a gift, and most of us have, you know, multiple gifts. And that's what we're to minister with, right? In other words, my primary gift is exhortation. So I'm a, you know, a motivator. I'm a, you know, the exhorter is like a how-to person. I mean, my skill at preaching is to connect Sunday to Monday. That's how I look at it. I'm very, very like, you know, here are five motivators. This is what you can use in your life. And I'm to minister with that gift. I'm to use that gift as a good steward of what God has given to me. And listen, I would love to help you find your unique ministry. And we do what we call the purple folder here at our church. And it's a folder. It's purple. All right. That's the color we use. And basically, it's some inventory type paperwork you fill out. And listen, I will personally meet with you. All right. So if you'd like to get a purple folder, okay, let me know. Okay. Let me know. Email me at wecare@capitalbaptist.org. wecare@capitalbaptist.org for the purple folder. And I will gladly help you work through that process. All right. So as we leave this point, what do we focus on here then? We focus on the perseverance of Jesus. You see, you know, when we get discouraged, our focus is on our problems. When we get encouraged, our focus is on Jesus, and specifically under this point, the fact that he persevered, right? It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 1b, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. What does that mean? How did we receive mercy? Just like we received mercy, do not lose heart. And how did we receive mercy? We received mercy through the perseverance of Jesus. The perseverance of Jesus. Thank God Jesus did not quit. And Jesus persevered. And he hung on that cross in John 19:30b, And he made seven statements on that cross. And one statement was, it is finished. It is finished. He says, I did it. I finished. And listen, focus on the perseverance of Jesus. Jesus didn't quit. And because Jesus didn't quit, we have mercy and we can go to heaven and not go to hell, right? This is a motivator, a glorious ministry that God has given to you. Praise God. A second motivator, serving people. Serving people. Paul says, I'm motivated by serving people. Understand this. Understand that true greatness is measured by servanthood. True greatness is measured by servanthood. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Now, this verse means a lot to me personally, all right? And most of the time, when I write a letter, I end it with this. I am, ... yours for his service. I am, ... yours for his service. And that statement, which I adopted many years ago, is based on this verse right here, okay? We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. And this is what I believe. I believe that I'm your bondservant for Jesus' sake. I believe that I'm to serve you. And listen, by the way, you're supposed to serve me. And we're to serve each other. And that is greatness, true greatness, because Jesus said in Matthew 20:26, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, listen, let him be your servant. You want to be great? I mean, the world tells us, you know, you want to be great, you got to have this, you got to do that. You know, God's word says it very specifically. You want to be great? Be a servant. Be a servant. And this is how God views greatness, your servant's heart, okay, for him and for others. And so what's the focus? Focus on the mind of Jesus. This was the mind of Jesus. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:12-15, so then death is working in us, but life in you. Paul's saying, listen, I'm going through a lot. I mean, I'm suffering a lot, you know. And, you know, death is working in us. I mean, some of us are literally going to be martyrs. We're going to die for Jesus. But listen, I'm willing to do this because it will give life in you. You'll get to experience abundant life on earth through Jesus, eternal life. In other words, I'm willing to make the sacrifice because of the benefit you'll gain by it. And then he goes on to say in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 4, for all things are for your sakes. All things are for your sakes. See, Paul was motivated by serving. It was a motivator for him, serving people. And really, what he did was he had the mind of Christ. Because Philippians 2:5-7 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to have the mind of Christ. And what's the mind of Christ? But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. I mean, what Jesus is asking of us is no different than what he did for us. He had a mind of a servant. And if we're going to be motivated, we got to focus not on our problems, but the person of Jesus, and specifically, the mind of Jesus. Now, let's talk about the third motivator, all right? So we've already talked about the first motivator, glorious ministry. The second motivator, serving people. And now, listen, the third motivator is Christ-like suffering. Christ-like suffering. You see, here's the bottom line. Expect to suffer while serving God and people. Just expect it, all right? Listen, it's not going to be easy for you, all right? It's going to be hard for you. And and you get involved in serving God and serving people, you're going to have some hard times. And Paul describes that in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9, where he says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're hard pressed. You know, what is he talking about there? He's talking about, you know, pressure. There's pressure involved in serving God and serving people. You're gonna have pressure on you. You're going to have stress on you, right? And then he goes on to say, we are perplexed, but not in despair. We are perplexed, but not in despair. And to me, I get the word confusion. There's sometimes things are confusing, right? There, I mean, it's not always easy. It's not always clear. And sometimes we get perplexed. We don't understand, right? We just have difficulty sometimes. I do for sure, and I'm sure you do too. And then in verse 9, he says, persecuted but not forsaken. Persecuted but not forsaken. I mean, this word here is the idea of being chased down. I mean, Paul, you know, many times had to flee because, literally flee for his life, right? Because he was persecuted. And then struck down but not destroyed. Struck down but not destroyed. The idea there is to be thrown down, literally to be thrown down. Paul says, I was hard pressed. I was perplexed. He says, I was persecuted. He says, I was struck down. But even in the midst of that, he also says, listen, yet I wasn't crushed. He says, I didn't despair. He says, but I wasn't ever forsaken, even when I was persecuted. And he says, I wasn't destroyed. Wow. What a description. You see, Philippians 1:29 says, for to you it has been granted on the behalf of Christ. Listen, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. You see, the Christian life isn't just one way, all right? Meaning it's just not believing in him. Yes, that's how you become a Christian, by putting your trust in Jesus to get to heaven. But with that, listen, we are called to suffer for his sake. We are called to suffer for his sake. Expect it to come, right? And this is such a huge help when it comes to discouragement, because a lot of times we get discouraged when we're suffering, right? I mean, I'm not trying to be a pessimist. I am trying to be a realist. You're going to suffer, all right? Expect it to come. And with this, focus on the suffering and the death of Jesus. Listen, when you're going through this, put your focus on Jesus and his suffering and his death. Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 4:10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Wow. Paul says, listen, I'm carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, right? You know, he says, I want the life of Jesus to be manifested, you know, in me and through me. And listen, what he's talking about, listen, is how that Jesus, although he suffered and he died, he died to self, right? Jesus, he died physically, but ultimately he died to self, right? You know, in Matthew 26, 39, that's called the prayers, and he prayed three times this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that garden is right next to where Jesus was crucified. And right before he was going to be arrested, and right before they were going to take him and put him on trial, and then eventually take him to the cross, here's what Jesus said. He went a little farther. And he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, listen, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, listen, if there is another way for salvation, let's do that. But of course, the answer was there is no other way. Jesus is the only way. And he said, listen, if I am the only way, listen, I will do this. It'll be your will, not my will, all right? In other words, Jesus denied himself. I mean, you got to focus on the suffering and death of Jesus. And listen, if you're going to identify with Christ-like suffering, you have to understand that you have to listen. You have to be willing to die to self, right? And live for Him. In fact, Paul said in another passage this way, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. What does that mean? Did Paul get on the cross with Jesus? Not physically, but he did spiritually. In that, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What is Paul saying? Paul says, die to self, live for Jesus. You know, focus your life on Jesus and realize His suffering and His death, and be willing to make the sacrifice in Christ-like suffering. In other words, let it motivate you. Okay, again, the opposite typically happens to all of us, including me, all right, is we get discouraged by those times. But listen, turn that thing around and get your focus not on yourself, but on Him. Number four, the fourth motivator, confident faith. Confident faith. Believe and speak the Word of God. Confident faith. Be confident in your faith. And to do that, believe the Word of God and speak the Word of God. Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 4:13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. For we also believe and therefore speak. I believe, he says. And because I believe, I speak. He had a confident faith, and his speaking was based on believing. And literally what he's doing here is he's quoting from the Psalms. You know, Psalm 116:10 is where this statement comes from. It says, I believe, therefore, I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I mean, Paul draws this statement from the Psalms, Psalm 116:10. I believe, therefore, I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. And there's a whole lesson there on the importance of Scripture memorization, but I don't have time for that today. But you know the Word of God, hide it in your heart, memorize the Word of God so you have it available to you, right? Speak, and speak based on your faith. And listen, focus on the resurrection and victory of Jesus. I mean, our faith, our confident faith is based on the resurrection of Jesus and the victory of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 4:14, Paul says, knowing. Let me just stop and say, confident is what he's saying. I know this. I know that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. He says, listen, I know. I know that I'm on the winning team, all right? I know, because I know that Jesus came out of that grave victorious. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 says, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. And I say thanks be to God. Why? Who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the victory, because of the resurrection of Jesus, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Be steadfast in your service for Him. Be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen, may your confident faith motivate you. Listen, Jesus is alive, right? That's not just for Easter, that's for every day, right? Jesus is alive, and we have a confident faith that should motivate us. So, number one, glorious ministry, right? Number two, serving people. Number three, Christ-like suffering. Number four, confident faith. And now the fifth motivator is spiritual renewal. You see, again, the Bible says our physical side is perishing, right? But the spiritual can be renewed every day. So here is what we need to do. Have daily devotions and attend a weekly church service for renewal. Let me say that again. Have daily devotions, we call it a quiet time, and attend a weekly church service for renewal. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart. This is our key verse for today. Do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, right? The physical side of us is passing, right? Passing away, slowly but surely. Yet the inward man, the inner man, that's our spiritual part of us, can be renewed day by day. We got to make sure that inner man stays strong. That spiritual part of us stays strong. And the way we do that, you know, I want to mention today, there's multiple ways, but two very important ways is, first of all, to have daily devotions, or we call it a quiet time. And a quiet time is when you read the Bible and let God speak to you. It's also praying, and yes, God speaks to us in prayer, but mainly we're speaking to God, right? It is two-way communication, right? But mainly when you're reading the Bible, God is speaking to you. When you're praying, you're speaking to God. And the Bible says in Matthew 4:4 how much we need the Bible. It says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Listen, you cannot make it without his holy word. I mean, this is daily bread. The Bible is daily bread. And we need to take in daily bread every single day. Every single day. And listen, you might say, well, Pastor Steve, that sounds good. I like to do that. I just don't know what to do. Well, listen, I got something for you to do, all right? And that is, we at our church every single week craft what's called the growth guide, all right? The growth guide. And what the growth guide is, it's daily bread, all right? Literally daily bread. Every day you have Bible readings. Every day you have reflection questions. It's perfectly designed for you to have a quiet time with God. And listen, you know, we're very serious about this growth guide. And, you know, we put a lot of time, a lot of effort, and Pastor Jim Womer does the heavy lifting on this. And I thank God for the good job he does in that area. We encourage you to use the growth guide. And some of you, you're not getting the growth guide, all right? And we're so serious about this, we literally physically mail it to you every single week. And so if you'd like to get the growth guide, just email me at wecare@capitalbaptistchurch. And what that will do is that will add you to what we call the weekly mailing. And you'll get a letter from me kind of giving a snapshot of some things going on in the church. You'll get the growth guide, okay? You'll get the growth guide. You'll get the sermon outline. You keep seeing me look down at this here. I'll send you a physical outline, okay? And then also you get an offering envelope every single week. All right, so if you want that, email me at wecare@capitalbaptist.org. All right, and then also, listen, you need to attend a weekly worship time, a church service, if you will. The Bible says in Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad, and let's be glad. Thank you for being here today. Make a habit out of it. You know, make a habit. Say, I'm glad to go to the house of the Lord. And thank God we can do it on site. And if you can do that, that's awesome. But thank God we can be here online together, right? And worshiping the Lord. And so with that, focus on eternity with Jesus. As Paul concludes this section, he says, for our light affliction, he viewed what he went through as light, because he's making a comparison. It's only for a moment, right? This life is so short, you know. It goes by so fast. It's a light affliction that's only going to last for a moment. But listen, it's working for us. working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Listen, the physical is perishing, right? But the spiritual can be renewed day by day. And as we do that, may it help us to focus on eternity, right? Focus on eternity with Jesus. Listen, one day we're going to be with Him, all right? So let's not let discouragement take us out, take us down, right? Let's look to Him. So are you motivated? I pray you are. And when you get discouraged, like I do sometimes, let's all think about the glorious ministry. Let's all think about serving people. Let's all think about Christ-like suffering. Let's think about confident faith. And let's talk about spiritual renewal. Let's get our focus on Jesus. And when we do that, we can trade our discouragement for Jesus' motivation. Don't lose heart, my friend. Don't lose heart.